Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 6. And today we're going to be kind of focusing in on the reward of fasting. The reward, and you understand that Jesus makes mention of this, and we'll talk about it here through this passage of Scripture today. But because fasting is associated with, or if you will, linked to this subject of prayer, it's important to understand that, okay? Because what's wrong is if we just fast and don't pray with it, what good is it, right? There are some obviously some physical benefits to fasting. Medicine will tell you that. But that's not why we fast. We fast for the closeness, right? We fast to get even closer to God, if you will, than when the flesh is in the way. And that's what fasting is all about. And it's not something we do mechanically. We've already talked about these things in previous messages. It's not something that we do, again, because we have to. You know, every month that has 5 weeks, you know, we're going to fast on this month. No, no, it's not like that at all. It's you fast when you think it's important to fast. Right. Remember, I already brought out to you the point that God didn't put any kind of a law in place about fasting. He didn't give any directives about fasting because it was an as needed basis. It was as the people felt, or the prophets even felt, that they needed, or the leader. We know that David proclaimed fast and Solomon proclaimed fast. These people said, "Hey, we're in trouble. We need to fast." And so it was a proclamation. It was something that was kind of the emergency button that you push. We need something here, and that's what it is. But it does have a reward. And that's what we want to focus on today. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you're physically able, here we are in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 9. And we're going to go down through verse 18. If you'll join me out loud on the even verses, I'll read by myself on the odd verses because of my state of being. Because I'm the odd one here. And you get to join me on the even verses because you're all even keeled and even tempered and all that. I'm not. So here we are in verse 9. I'll begin. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Look at that word. Shall reward thee openly. There is a reward to fasting. Well, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, you have to do it right. Not according to what men say fasting is, but according to what God says. Not according to the sad countenance and the disfiguring of the face that men see, because guess what you get then? You get an earthly reward. But if you do it things the way God wants it done, according to God's design and God's example, God will reward you openly. Well, I'm a little mixed up today, if you can understand that. When you sit through 16 messages in a week's time, your head starts to spin. Okay? Partly because of the sleep deprivation. partly because of all that's being computed by your little tiny brain. And I'm speaking of myself. I'm not making fun of you. I have a small hat size. I wear a 6 7/8 hat. So there's a lot of gray matter stuffed into a small cavity. sorry. in my flesh, I guess I want to kind of re-preach those 16 messages to you, because they are so beneficial and helpful. They help me. They're not just for the boys. This week at football camp, there were 350 boys there, and about a little over about 100 to 125 coaches and staff. You can imagine, how many of you got a chance to watch some of the games on there, okay? And you can still do that, of course. But you understand that takes a production team, all right? So that the media team is probably about 30 people strong. I was on the sideline, so if you watch the games, you can see me sometimes on the sideline. Now I messed up Brother Burkett's schedule because he was looking for my bucket hat that I wear. I went with the ball cap this year. As you can see, my ears are a little toasty because of that, I suppose. But cool weather's deceiving. You understand that, right? The sun still has the strength, even though it's only 75 degrees out there. But my wife said I have a little line here from my sunglasses, so I was wearing my sunglasses. But so I was on the sideline. So there were I think a total of 8 of us on the chains. Between the two fields, there was a minimum of 3 to 4 or 5 referees per field. So you have all that. Every team had at least 2 coaches in the lower divisions, Pee-wee and Headbusters. KFL through varsity had anywhere from 4 to 7 coaches, times 4 teams. Okay, in each division, there are 5 divisions, and so that's a lot of people. Then you have office staff, and then of course the folks at First Baptist there in Dwight, all the volunteers, the ladies that cook the food, the people that wash the clothes, just a fantastic work there. But the amount of people that, for that ministry. But when you're sitting in a service and there's the preaching is going down, you understand that physically. The boys are wore out. And this has to do with fasting. So I'm getting somewhere. I'm not just talking to you. That's what happens to us when we fast. We're kind of wearing out the flesh so that the spirit can be spoken to. You know, we harden our hearts. There was a message taught about or preached about Pharaoh and the hardness of the heart and such. But do you realize that we've got to beat down the flesh so that the spirit can be exalted? That we can live in the spirit, not in the flesh. You all know what the word mortify means, right? Put to death. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Why? So that we can walk in the spirit. And so there is something to this camp process, whether it's teen camp, junior camp, football camp, of kind of wearing down that physical so that the spiritual can be lifted up. And it was just great. And I want to thank the boys, parents, those of you that sent your boys with, they were fantastic. I didn't have a minute's trouble out of them. They were great. And except for the one that decided to drink a 32-ounce soda, and then about 45 minutes later had to use the restroom, but we'll forgive him. And, like, I wasn't planning on stopping so soon. I gotta go. Okay. It's just life, it's life. No, they were wonderful. I love and appreciate the boys and what a blessing. But, you get kind of, mixed up as far as this thing of what to preach, because I really could preach a lot of different things. But God used the conference, not just for the boys, but for me. And so thank you, church, for allowing me to minister in that capacity. I want to thank Brother Frankie for preaching while I was gone. And, of course, the rest of you that stepped up and provided and did a part, you know, with all that goes on here in a local ministry. But I am confident that God wants us to continue down this path about fasting and prayer. I want you to understand that there is a reward to things. You've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. Rewarding is giving someone something for doing something that's good. Okay, that's a reward. You've heard about bribery, you know, because a lot of people say, well, you bribe those kids to come on the church bus, or you... No, no. Bribery is giving someone something for doing something bad. That's bribery. Reward is giving somebody something for doing something good. Does God love us, everyone? Okay? Is God good? Yes. Is he a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? He is. That's part of his nature. This thing of reward is not a man-made thing. It's a God-made thing. Did you notice here in Matthew, we've been meeting out of Matthew chapter 6 for several weeks. Well, several months, really. If you think about it, look back at verse 2, right? Well, look at verse 1. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father. Do you see that? Look at verse 2. He says, at the end of verse 2, they have their reward. In verse, let's go down here. Verse 5, they have their reward. Okay? Verse 6, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then back, we just read it today over here, in verse 18, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is a principle, biblical principle. God wants to give us blessings and gifts and things. He's our heavenly Father. Fathers, those of you don't want to give your kids good things, do you? You do? Oh, I do too. Where do we get that from? Is it a man derived idea? No, it's a God derived idea. God says, I want you close to me, and if you'll get close to me, I'll reward you. I want to be a part of your life. If you'll commune with me, I'll reward you. So think about this. If we're in the storms of life and in the depths of despair, if you will, or when all has gone wrong and everything is just upside down and we don't know where to turn, we don't know what to do, we've exhausted everything perhaps that we know of, and we fall before God. That's where we should go, right? And what's he going to do? He's going to stand there and look at us, right? And say, why are you here? No, he's not going to do that. He's going to take us up in his loving arms and he's going to comfort us. He's going to be good to us because God is good. So when he says pray, we pray. What does he do? Reward us openly. When he says fast, we fast, and he rewards us openly. You understand that God is that way. So take your Bibles and turn over to Isaiah 58. We got into this just a little bit 2 weeks ago. And at the end of the message, I highlighted some of these items. But it wasn't, I was just kind of wrapping things up last week. Or 2 weeks ago, sorry. By the way, I had to go back and watch it because I had forgotten some of what I said. So I always check with myself because I don't want to contradict anything, you know. Or I don't want to accidentally re-preach a message that I already preached. But because I am somewhat forgetful, so you'll have to forgive me on that regard. Thank God for the internet, amen. In that way, there's some other reasons. But look at verse 8 here in Isaiah 58. He says this, then, okay? So in verses 1 through 7, he's talking about the wrong that they were doing in fasting. They weren't doing it God's way with God's motive and everything like that. They were doing it for their own flesh and for their own desires. But he says when you get it right and you do things the right way and you choose the fast that I've chosen, he says that in verse 6. And then in verse 7, then he says this, then. Okay, so when we fast according to God's design, when we do what God wants us to do, when we pray the way God wants us to pray, by the way, we can apply this to every area of our lives. When we live for God the way we're supposed to live, when we work for God the way we're supposed to work, when we deal with others in our relationships the way God says to, that's when the rewards come. Because rewards are given for good that has been done. And when we fast properly, in verse 8, he says this, then shall thy light break forth as in the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Here's that word again. Okay? Now, how many believe that the Word of God is in every word Bible? Word of God. That's what we believe. So why would it say that God shall reward thee openly, right? When we fast in secret the way we're supposed to, according to God's design. And then here in Isaiah, that's in Matthew, in Isaiah it says, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. When you fast properly. When you use fasting the right way and go through the elements of fasting the proper way. So God says that we will have this as our reward. Did you notice here, there's some elements that are given, that the first one is light. Now what do we know about light? It's the opposite of darkness. Okay? Let me just ask you a quick question. What is the reason most likely that we're fasting in the first place? Because of? Anyone? Darkness. Right? Okay, you can talk. It's okay. Right? Because of darkness. Right? So, what would an obvious reward be if we fast and we come to the Lord in our time of darkness? What's He gonna give us? Light. See, this makes sense, doesn't it? I know this is maybe elementary for you, but isn't God kind of elementary? He is. He keeps it simple. I like it that way because I'm kind of simple. So you understand that we're falling on our face before God. We're in an emergency situation because of some darkness. Whether it's self-inflicted or not. Doesn't matter why. It's there. That oppression is there. Whether it's because of sin or whether it's a storm or trial that we're going through in our lives. It doesn't matter the reason. It just matters that there's darkness and the reward for coming to God and being before God is what? Light. Because God is good. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently do what? Can I just draw another attachment to this? Isn't fasting diligently seeking God? It is. Because when you're fasting, are you serious about it? After you're sold out, right? Another one of the messages was talking about being all in. Are you going to be all in? I mean, by the way, when we come before God in prayer, is that necessarily all in? Kinda. But when you come to God with prayer and fasting, buddy, that's all in. Because you've got nothing else to do. That's the last straw, right? So light is given. Let me just give you some scriptures here about God and light. In Job 22, this is what, now, by the way, anything you read out of Job, you've got to understand, this is a dire circumstance. Okay, now it doesn't actually use the word fast or fasting in the book of Job. But he was sitting in what? Sackcloth and ashes. By the way, that's associated with fasting. All right, now, was he in a difficult situation? The most. And I told you this before. I actually have been able to have the thought of losing 10 children. Okay? You guys are close. Are you close? 9, you're close. So you've been close to this thought. Okay? I have 10 children I can lose. I've thought about this. Can I tell you something? Job is real to me. I could lose all my children. Maybe my wife's thought about this. I don't know. Have you thought about this, dear? It's a sobering thought. I mean, it brings me to tears. You understand that? No, I'm not minimizing losing your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm not at all, but I can actually physically relate to what Job went through. You know what I'd be? I'd be in sackcloth and ashes too, I think. I wouldn't know what to do. I hope that I could retain my integrity and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me just ask you this. You think Job was probably as close to God as he ever was during this time? You think he was looking for some answers? We see that, don't we? All through the chapters of the book of Job. But listen to what he says here. He says, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. And it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Who does that? God does that. Why does he do that? Because he loves us. Because he's good. Of course, folks, God is good. And he's a rewarder. When we come to him in fasting, in brokenness, he restores the light. The light shines in. In Psalm 97, we see David. Let me ask you a question. Did David have some dark times in his life? Many. Many dark times. And does he ever attribute the relief of those dark times to himself? No. To whom does he attribute them? His God. Who brings the light back into a man's life? God does. Because God is light. Psalm 97, David writes, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. What's evil? Darkness. He says, he preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. When we're on our face fasting and praying before God, there's no righteousness of our own left. We're focusing on God. We're focusing on his righteousness. We're as close to, probably to the Lord as we've ever been. And folks, that's going to bring light. Because God is light. He's the one that's the bringer of light. In Psalm 112, David writes, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like God is a rewarder for those that seek him. Fasting and prayer is a way that we seek God, and God is going to reward us. Proverbs 4, Solomon says, but the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So this light, it's not our light, right? It's his light. Now, I know this is going to get some of you upset. But it's okay. We can all handle it. We sing a little song in Sunday school, and I want to be clear, I'm for this, but is it really doctrinally true? It is in its context, but I want you to think about it. We sing this little light of what? Now it's ours because we've accepted it. I understand. I get that part of it, but do you see what I'm kind of picking at a little bit? It's his light. It's not ours. Now he does say, let your light so shine before men. I understand that. I'm not contradicting the scriptures. But when we come before God in fasting, we are emptying of ourselves. Everything. And any light we receive is going to be his light. Any glory or righteousness that we receive is going to be his. You see, because fasting is that brokenness, that complete spilling and emptying of all. Wow. See? There's nothing left. Because the flesh is totally gone. And isn't that what we need in our lives? So that his light, right? Maybe we should sing, this little light of his, I'm going to let it shine. Because it is his light. I told you before, a lighthouse, the main thing of a lighthouse is the reflection. The reflection of the light source. I don't have my own light that I'm shining. I want to reflect God's light. And I'm going to get it when all the darkness is gone, because God's going to be the giving the light, because I gave up everything. And that's what we need to realize. This is what we're talking about. This is what we have in this thing of fasting. This is our reward. If you'll remember just a few things that John said, then spake Jesus again unto them. This is recorded in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's the light. We're not the light. He's the light. And we're supposed to shine his light into this world. And we can do that when we're in the light. How do you know? 1 John chapter 1. Doesn't it tell us that? We get dirty, folks. The lens of our reflector gets dirty. And it needs to be cleansed so it can reflect the light of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we can't get cleansed until we're totally broken before God in fasting and prayer. We talked about that two weeks ago. Sometimes we fast because of oppression of sin. Because we just have sin. How many of you, don't raise your hand. How many of you have sin that you just can't shake? And we all do, folks. I'll raise my hand. There are some things that just, by the way, why do you think they call it the sin that does so easily beset us? For you, it might be one thing. For me, it's another thing. Because the devil knows how to get us, folks. He knows what our weaknesses are. And sometimes these things don't come but by fasting and prayer. Because we got to get victory over it. But he says here that we should, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship him with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that what we need? God's a rewarder to those who fast. He'll reward us openly. He'll reward us with light. He'll reward us with health. Look what it says back here in Isaiah 58, verse 8. He says, thy light shall break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Now, does God want us to be healthy? Come on, everyone. I know we tease about donuts and we tease about bacon and all this stuff. Listen. This physical body needs to be cared for. I probably don't care for mine as well as I should. All right, my wife, now that I'm getting older, she's like, I'd like to keep you around a little more, a little longer. I don't know why she does, but she does, I guess. So sometimes she gently, you know, tells me I need to eat better and, you know, less hamburgers and less bacon. I don't know why, it's just Brother Camp, you know, but less donuts. But y'all understand that health is important. Okay. Does God want us to have good health? Yeah, he does. Absolutely. Now, I don't know if I'm ever going to be a health nut. Okay. I'm not that crazy, but if you are one of those, I love you still anyways. But here's the thing. It is important. And guess what? It's a medical truth. There is a health related reward to fasting. There is. It's in scripture. It's medically true. That's, guess what? Guess who gives that to us? God does. Hey, if you're dealing with something, maybe fasting's the answer. Again, it's not for the health benefit. It's for the getting close to God benefit. But what's the reward of that? Your health. Just listen to a few of these verses. In Exodus 15, 26, the Bible says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, he will and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Is that not what God said? God says what? If you do what I say, I'll do what? I'll heal you. Doesn't it say when my people, right, called by my name shall do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face, right? What's he going to do? He's going to heal. God is a God of healing. This is one of his titles, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's a title of God. In Deuteronomy, he repeats this in so many words and says, wherefore it shall come to pass if ye hearken to these judgments and keep them and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep thee unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people, and there shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Remember Proverbs 4? Solomon tells his son to attend to his words, incline his ear unto his sayings. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It's just true. This is truth. Psalm 42, David says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Is God the health of your countenance? If we're fasting and praying, if we're all in this thing of coming before God, we'll have health. You know Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. So he rewards us with light, he rewards us with health. Look at the next thing. He says, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. That's interesting. Because what do we receive when we're all broken before the Lord? There's none of our own righteousness left, so it can't be that. So what is it? It's his righteousness. The righteousness of God. You understand that God's righteousness must be exalted in our lives. Our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. You understand that our merit is not what's important. Why do I do the things that I do? Not for my righteousness, but because of God's righteousness. Do you understand the difference? Because whatever I do in the flesh is worthless. But whatever I do in the spirit is of lasting value. Can I live a life doing good things in the flesh the whole time? I can. What will I receive? My earthly reward. It'll be burnt up, wood, hay, and stubble. He said, but it was good. Sure it was. But is that what matters? No. Can I do the same good things in the spirit? Yet will they remain? Yes. Because it's in his righteousness, not my own righteousness. Paul said he counted all his own righteousness as dung, that he may win Christ. When we fast before God, there is no mistake that whatever God does, it is of God. Just like we talked about in Genesis. God waited as long as he waited for Abram and Sarai for a reason. That there was no mistake that what God did with Isaac was God. All God, no human part at all. You understand that? This is what we're talking about. We're getting to the end of it here. Don't worry. God's glory. If I do it in the flesh, who receives the reward? Okay, are you connecting the dots now? We're going back to Matthew. Are you connecting the dots? If I make my face weak, right, and I look, oh, I'm fasting, who are they going to glorify? Not my God. They're going to glorify me. I don't ever want people to say, oh, what a great preacher. I don't. Because if that's the response I'm getting, then I'm doing it wrong. I want them to say, what a great God. Because that's who should be exalted. And that's who should be magnified. God should be in our lives. And when we're completely spent, completely broken, we're all the way down, we have nothing left, we're in prayer and fasting before God, his righteousness will go before us. Not our own righteousness. And then he says this, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. When God's glory shines in our life, do you understand this? Think about this. Moses went up into the mountain. He communed with God. When it came down, what happened? Yeah. So much that people were afraid. And did Moses' face, was it shining because he was such a great leader? And because, you know, his righteousness was showing out? No. It was the glory of God reflecting off of him. And the people were afraid. And they covered his face with a veil. Remember the tabernacle? When the children of Israel followed exactly what God wanted them to do in building the tabernacle, what happened? The glory of God came down. When Solomon built the temple according to God's design and did everything according to God, prayed that prayer of dedication, what happened? The glory of God came down. The glory of God in our lives is our reward. What do you have to show for your time with God? There have been times where I've been out, even in jeans and a t-shirt, and I'll be at a grocery store or somewhere. I've had a few times where this has happened. For no apparent reason, people have asked me, are you a pastor? And I can't think of any physical reason why they would have said that. I just hope that maybe it was God's glory shining in my life that caused them to ask that question. I'm glad they asked it because I was able to give them a gospel tract and talk to them. But do you understand? That should be our desire. The Pharisees' desire in Matthew chapter 6 was to be seen of men. And they had their reward. But I want to be seen of God. And I want when I come out of that prayer closet and that time with God and that time of fasting and prayer, and I want the glory of the Lord to be just shining on my face so people are like, whoa, where have you been? Again, not for my pride, not for my benefit, but for His. Do you understand that when God rewards us in such a way that in turn it brings glory to Him, that's the greatest reward. Because I want nothing more from my life than to glorify God with every ounce that's in me. That's how we all should want. That's how we all should feel. The rewards of fasting.